What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Have you had Aaron Jones? Probably congratulations. Actually, had Aaron Jones in one league and lost. Played against Aaron Jones in one league and won. So you never know. We'll recap the Monday night football game. Packers get right a little bit and the Lions come back down to earth. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, Dave Richard. Of course, we're here to talk about the waiver wire. Guys, I think it's an interesting week because you have to kind of decide how much you're going to buy into some players with, you know, underwhelming track records who are off to good starts. Derek Carr, Sterling Shepard, Cordarrelle Patterson, they come to mind. I'll remind you, I looked at my waiver wire notes for going into week three last year after the first two games. Robbie Anderson was 70% rostered. Corey Davis was 62% rostered. They were two of our priorities, and they broke out. Also, N'Keal Harry and Russell Gage were coming off big games in week two. So you don't know which way it's going to go. But Jamie, as the guy who writes the waiver wire column, what was your overall impression of the waiver wire options this week?
It's not great. You know, there's not a lot of great, you know, standout players for guys that I think are new to the list, because we've been saying Sterling Shepard for weeks, clearly, you know, preseason, you know, pick him up. He could be the best Giants wide receiver. And he's proven that through 2 weeks. JD McKissick, you know, was dropped after a disappointing week one. And now he's all of a sudden looking like a very good option, you know, for week two, but he's going to be inconsistent most weeks. You know, the tight end group is terrible, you know, so it's and the quarterbacks, while decimated by injuries, thankfully no superstars, you know, so the guys that you're looking at, like you said, Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, Daniel Jones, I don't think most fantasy leagues have the need to start them in one quarterback leagues. These are more 14 team league type of guys that you may be streaming. So it's not exactly like last week we were, you know, in some cases running for Elijah Mitchell with the hope of what he could be. And there's not that type of player, I don't think, unless Shepard is still available in your leagues. Maybe Rondell Moore.
Yeah, you mentioned Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, Bridgewater's another guy I should have included in the track record list. I read this yesterday on the show. If you didn't hear it, this is from the Associated Press. He became the fourth player in NFL history, Teddy Bridgewater, to open a season with consecutive games in which he had two touchdown passes, no interceptions, and he completed 75% of his passes.
That's not sustainable?
Well, look at the company he's in. Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Jeff George back in 1994. It is a tremendous start to the season for Teddy Bridgewater.
It makes you wonder what he could have been if he didn't have that devastating knee injury. Not that, you know, this two-game sample size is an example of, you know, the heights that he could reach. One thing that I found fascinating, we had Jonathan Coachman, the coach, who's the host of the Early Edge podcast, on with us on FFT, on HQ, each of the last 2 days, Sunday and Monday. And on Sunday's show, he brought up a fascinating stat for those of you that like to make a wager or two, that Teddy Bridgewater is the best quarterback in NFL history of covering on the road. He's now 23-3 of covering road games.
What? How weird. All right, Dave, get in there. What do you think about the way that's pretty cool. What do you think about the waiver wire?
Hold on. First, I'm checking to see when the Broncos' next road game is. It's at Pittsburgh in week five. All right. Saving my money for that. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Coach. The waiver wire this week. I think there's some interesting wide receivers. Jamie talked about Shepard. I think he's the gem of the bunch. I think Rondale Moore is legit. I really love the fit in this offense. I don't think he's going to get a lot of 77-yard touchdown catches, but
I mean wide open.
He's got that catch and run ability, and he's really good at getting open. Perfect fit for that offense. I think there are some interesting tight ends too. It's going to make your skin crawl to hear Evan Engram as a potential guy to pick up off the waiver wire. But I love the matchup against Atlanta this week. It looks like he's trending in the right direction to play. And looks, if I'm streaming tight ends, that's somebody who I'm going to keep in mind when I'm looking at that position. And then running back, speaking of skin crawl, there's Cordero Patterson, who, he just had two touchdowns, but there's a chance that his role increases because Mike Davis really isn't getting the job done. He had a couple of nice runs in week one, a couple of nice plays in week two. Maybe the Falcons just keep on utilizing him, and he's certainly going to catch some passes. So if you're hurting at running back and you're not ready to quite buy into McKissick, certainly in a half or a non-PPR league, maybe Cordero Patterson, maybe. There's also some good stash guys this week that we'll talk about later on.
Yeah. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to give our top three priorities or three-ish right now. We're going to talk about Fab. At some point, we'll give our top three at each position. We'll recap Monday Night Football, and then we'll go deeper in, about 45 minutes into the show, we'll go deeper into the waiver wire and also tell you who to drop. So also, I want to tell everybody, I'm getting a lot of emails, a lot of tweets. I'm 0-2. What should I do? Look at your team. If you believe in it still, then don't panic, okay? If you have Justin Herbert, I know a lot of people have Justin Herbert, they're 0-2. He has been very unlucky. He's playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. They've left a lot of points off the board. Interceptions in or near the end zone, those types of things. So he's a guy that I think you just don't panic. You got an extra game this year, okay? So there's a pick the good year to go 0-2. Don't freak out and don't sell low on your players. And use your IR spot. Some guys are going to go on IR. Not going to happen tonight, but maybe you want to pick up Tyrod Taylor. He's been really good. I don't know. If you have an IR spot, it's a free ad once he goes on IR.
Michael Hasty would be the first one I'd look for if he goes on IR.
And Jeff Wilson is still only 6% rostered. So,
right.
So pup IR, whatever it might be, use your IR spots to your advantage. All right, Jamie, give me the top three waiver wire priorities. And we haven't even talked about Alexander Mattison. I don't know if he would be one for you. We haven't seen anything on Dalvin Cook, who got hurt twice in that game, including once late. But who are your top priorities?
The first two are easy. It's Sterling Shepard and Rondale Moore. You just look at what, again, Shepard has done and what Moore did last week. On top of the big play, the nice thing about Moore, what you like to see from rookies, is his snap count increased from week one to week two. So that's something that clearly is showing that they're trusting him to be on the field a little bit more. But those two guys are easily the top two for me. And then number three, I think, would still be J.D. McKissick in PPR. As Dave said, if you want to go Cordarrelle Patterson in non or half PPR, I get that. It just feels like that was a fluky game. Whereas at least McKissick, you have a year of seeing what he can do in this offense as a pass catching back. So I'll take McKissick as the third guy.
Okay, so that's Shepard, Rondale Moore, and McKissick. Shepard 54% rostered, Rondale Moore 44% rostered, and McKissick 58%. Last week, Jamie, you said, well, Nyheim Hines, he's a priority. He's about 70% roster, but that's probably every PPR league. But McKissick was probably dropped in some of those leagues.
So he was.
You legitimately can go get him.
Two of my PPR leagues, for sure, he was dropped. And dropped smartly before the Thursday night game, so nobody could pick him up. So, we'll see in those formats what the rush is to add him. But you just have to understand with both of the top two running backs in terms of McKissick and Patterson, and like Dave said, there's going to be some other guys we'll mention. But those, I think, are going to be the two in terms of the ones that are available. Now you extend the number of what we typically talk about. So James White in non-PPR, I think, is worth adding still, or half PPR for sure. He's at the above the threshold of what we talk about. So, I see the early waiver columns that come out. Chris, I keep mentioning this. Chris does a great job. Chris Towers does a great job Sunday night doing this, and a lot of other sites do this to get ahead of, the waiver columns that come out on Tuesday. White is not available for us, but if he's available, he's easily the top running back to get in the same vein, Adam, like you're talking about of, PPR versus non-PPR in terms of where these guys are rostered. But
yeah,
I just think for Patterson and McKissick, it's not consistent. They're not going to get consistent production from those two guys.
All right, yeah, Dave.
It's, in that same vein, just running backs that might be available, like on a miracle, like they're available in less than 30% of leagues. Not only is James White out there in 23% of leagues, Tony Pollard, 29% of leagues. And he looked low key, he looked better than Zeke. So I wonder if there's a chance that he could start eating into Zeke's work a little bit more and certainly be used in the passing game. He looked fine. Sony Michel is out there in 29% of leagues. We know that there's a rib injury for Daryl Henderson. Maybe that opens the door for Michel to be the lead back against Tampa Bay in week three. You'd have to be desperate to use him. If you're asking me who my top three are off the waiver wire this week, I'm bypassing all the running backs. I don't want anything to do with them. Give me Shepard. Give me Rondale Moore. Give me Michael Pittman. Pittman barely makes the cut. He's available in only 34% of leagues.
So you said you don't want to have anything to do with who? Sorry.
I would prefer not to need a running back this week the waiver wire. Yeah. I think it's going to be bad if you're reaching for McKissick or spending your fab on him or Patterson. And I guess we can't forget about Madison because it does sound like there's a, quote, little ankle sprain for Dalvin Cook. Just a little ankle sprain. I don't know what that really means.
Listen, Dalvin Cook last year faked us out like three times. Okay, uh-huh. This is what he...
Yeah, it's like once a week thing.
17-game season, he's going to be among the leaders in touches. I don't see how you could keep Alexander Mattison on your waiver wire. You know, it's just...
Especially if you've got Dalvin Cook in your lineup.
Yes, you've got to have Mattison. All right, so Shepard, I want to ask you guys about Shepard. All right, so far this year... 7 catches, 113 yards, and a touchdown against Denver. 9 catches, 94 yards on 10 targets at Washington. Now it's 4 straight games going back to week 16 and 17 of 2020. 4 straight games with 9 or more targets. He's caught 80.5% of his targets in that stretch. He's averaged 12 yards per target. So his 16-game pace, based on those 4 games, is 132 catches, 1,584 yards, and 12 touchdowns. I don't know what to make of this. You got Galladay. Kadarius Toney's obviously not a factor. Evan Ingram hasn't played, and I do think that's a pretty big deal. I wouldn't think he'd have a lot of touchdowns because Daniel Jones doesn't throw them. But he's 54% rostered. Would you drop Brandon Ayuk for Sterling Shepard?
Yes.
Yep.
Would you rather have Chase Claypool or Sterling Shepard rest of season? I'm not saying drop Claypool, but would you rather have Claypool or Shepard?
Shepard and PPR.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there you go. Galladay.
Hold on. If Deontay Johnson, it sounds like he escaped serious injury on the last play of the game in week two. If Johnson were for some reason out for the year, I'd say Claypool in all formats.
Oh, man. Okay. How about you're going Galladay? You're going Shepard over Galladay?
Yeah. There's going to be a squeaky wheel game, though, against the Falcons. So just keep that in mind with Galladay this week. You know, after screaming at Jason Garrett or Daniel Jones, whoever he was yelling out in the sideline, plus the matchup. You know, this is just an easy week to get Galladay going. So, you know, just don't be surprised if Galladay has a better game than Shepard just because of, you know, touchdown potential and downfield opportunities. But Shepard, I think, is still going to be the best Giants receiver rest of the way.
Okay. I think I might make some... I don't have Sterling Shepard, but I might make some trade offers if people are really buying in this much. Should we really be buying in this much?
I mean, it's 19 targets in 2 games. It's a quarterback that's behind a shaky offensive line that's going to, you know, look for guys that are closer to the line of scrimmage as opposed to down the field. He has no rapport with Galladay yet. And, you know, I'll go back to what I said about the Titans that, you know, all the missed time for those guys, you know, you saw the certainly better connection between Tannehill and Julio Jones in week two that I think you're going to start to see that happen with Kenny Galladay. And again, this is the week for it to come.
Then why is it? So then that's exactly my point. You know, that's
but
why
I don't think Shepard's going away. No. I don't think he's going from 19 targets to 3, you know, or 9 targets to 3, you know, that he's had 9 targets each of the last 2 games, but I don't think I think 9 to 6, you know, he's going to be, I think a lot of 6 for 70, you know, those type of games on a bad week.
Yeah. All right.
Right. He still has that PPR floor of like 10 to 12, 13 points. I don't think that's ever going to go away. Just look at his game log from last year. He had a ton of games with 4, 5, 6 plus catches.
5 catches every game that he and Daniel Jones were healthy. 5 or more. Hey, we got a YouTube Q&A tonight, Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Join us there, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Also Thursday at 2 p.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. all Eastern. And then Sunday at about 8 or 8:15 p.m. we have the recap podcast that we do live. So join us at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday Tuesday night at 8, Thursday at 2, Sunday morning at 11:30. Those are all Q&As. We read a lot of your questions. And then 8:15, we do the podcast. 8:15, something like that, Eastern time. How much fab are we talking for your favorites this week?
Oh, it's not much.
Not a lot.
You know, Shepard, we're available as, you know, 15% guy, I think, in PPR, less than that in non-PPR. But that's about it. You know, I just can't see a situation unless we find out come Tuesday evening that Dalvin Cook's going to miss time, then Alexander Mattison will be, you know, a 20%+ guy, if not more, depending on the news. But I'm not anticipating that. So I wouldn't think it's anything of significance like we saw last week where people were just going crazy for Elijah Mitchell.
If Justin Fields or Kirk Cousins are on your waiver wire, are they the top priorities this week?
If I needed a quarterback, if I had Ryan Tannehill at quarterback and I wanted to make a change, going to Cousins is a pretty good move at this point.
What about, but you'd prioritize Cousins over Fields?
I would.
I would take Cousins over Fields in 6 points for passing touchdowns and 4 points, I might go Fields.
Okay. And Fields, we don't know the extent of Dalton's injury, but Fields is going to get his opportunity. All right. We got some news and notes to get to, and we'll give you some more names at each position. We're going to take a quick break here on Fantasy Football Today. When we come back, Red Zone Robbie G. Who's that? You can probably figure that out. Well, we'll tell you in a minute. We'll be right back. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Yes, the Mannings were back last night, and Rob Gronkowski joined them for a very fun interview. And Red Zone Robbie G, that's the nickname he gave himself, and it makes a lot of sense. He's been crushing it in the red zone. Do you guys watch what percentage of the time were you on the Manning broadcast?
100%.
Really?
There is no chance I would watch the other broadcast ever again.
I made a big mistake. I DVR'd the main broadcast, and I realized in the second quarter that the Mannings were on, and I wanted to watch that, but somebody else was recording a show on my DVR, and I couldn't flip to a third channel.
Oh.
So I was stuck with the main broadcast.
I don't hate the main broadcast.
I don't hate the main broadcast either, but I think the interviews are fun.
I'd rather have the other one.
The interviews are fun. McAfee at the end of the game when the game was at hand was awesome.
Oh, yeah, he was a goofball.
Gronk was great. The fact that he said, not only to give himself a nickname, but the fact that he said, I don't watch film. Now he's obviously joking because I'm sure he watches some film. But he's like, I just go to Tom every week and say, who's covering me? And what do I have to do?
Probably some truth to that. Yeah, it's like he just plays it his sleep. You know, it's so natural for Gronk and Brady. Odell Beckham could play this week. He's available in 7% of leagues, so you could take a look at him with Jarvis Landry out. Carson Wentz sprained both ankles, all right, with Carson Wentz, Andy Dalton, Tyrod Taylor, we all expect them out this week, right?
Yes.
Tyrod for sure. You know, 4 weeks, I think, was the report that Aaron Wilson had. Doesn't seem good for Dalton or Wentz. And then Tua is the one that we got to keep an eye on just with the rib injury and the pain tolerance.
And Carr. Carr is not a certainty.
Carr is going to play. I mean,
yeah.
Carr and Mayfield are on the injury report, but I wouldn't anticipate them missing time.
Okay. And as far as Andy Dalton goes, the Bears did say he's the starter when healthy. That could obviously change. Look, if remember what happened with Tyrod Taylor last year. If Fields goes out and he's Justin Herbert, he's not losing the job. So we'll see. Will Fuller back. He's expected to play this week, which is great. Jarvis Landry has never missed a game due to injury. Is that right? He missed a game.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, COVID last year on the COVID list. I don't think he's ever missed a game due to injury. He will miss a few weeks in all likelihood with the sprained MCL. Deontay Johnson, as Dave mentioned, hurt on the last play of the game. Not going to be a long-term injury. Hopefully back out there this week against the Bengals. Hopefully a shootout. Laviska Shenault should play this week. Josh Jacobs not looking as good facing Miami. He's, quote, very questionable for week three. Darrell Henderson got good news. Please sit, Darrell Henderson. I'm not going to start you anyway. I don't want you to look bad against the Bucks. Just sit. But he has a chance to play this week for those who want to pick up Sony Michel. Trey Sermon has a concussion. Jermichael Hasty has a high ankle sprain. So what about Kerryon Johnson or Trenton Cannon?
What about Duke Johnson or Lamar Miller or TJ Yeldon or any other guys that they're bringing in for tryouts this week? I think Elijah Mitchell's going to play. So he'd be the one I think that you lean on. And look, Trey Sermon's in the concussion protocol. We know he can clear that and still be able to go. So just keep that in mind. But yeah, Kerryon might get elevated. Trenton Cannon, somebody, if you're in a super deep league, you might want to just, you know, take a flyer on just to see what happens. But wow, it's just amazing what's happened to that backfield.
I think it's predictable.
Cannon,
at this point.
They're like stash guys at this point. Like, you need to have deep rosters and empty space.
Well, not Mitchell.
No. Yeah. Obviously not Mitchell, but I don't know how many leagues he's even still out there.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Right. But I'm talking about like super deep stash. Yeah. Just see what happens. You know, the Niners like to use multiple running backs. I wonder if Kyle Juszczyk gets in the mix a little bit.
Maybe that's a good call.
He got hurt too.
On him a little bit.
He got hurt.
People laughing at you
too.
On the show yesterday for you laughing at him about Kerryon, that people might be going after Kerryon very soon.
I know. Whatever. I like Cannon better than Kerryon. Okay. Kerryon's a perfect fit for San Francisco because he's probably going to get hurt in 10 days.
Yeah, no, I made a trade offer to a 49ers fan. I was trying to give him Mitchell, and he didn't respond. I said, are you going to accept my trade offer or what? He said, for a 49ers running back, he'll get hurt within the next week or two. That was on Saturday.
Did your other trade offer get accepted, by the way?
None of them got accepted. They were fine trade offers, but no, they didn't get rejected. That's what bothers me. Have the decency to hit reject. Which
were any of them sent to me?
No, it was all a different league. The only league I had Eli Mitchell.
Because I have an email filter set up to automatically not see any of your trade emails.
Oh, I'm getting a taste of my own medicine. In the podcast league, I was offered, I'll tell you in one second, it's an intentional Azer trade. It was meant to provoke. Zach Ertz is on the reserve COVID list. Could still play. It's not going to be easy, but could play this week. Amari Cooper has bruised ribs. We're going to have to keep an eye on that. Big Eagles-Cowboys game. Eagles are going to be without Brandon Brooks.
Your team.
Star. Yeah, let's go. Fly. Yes, tough week for us, though. No Brandon Brooks. No Brandon Graham. Jeez.
Yeah, Graham's out for the year. That's going to be huge for that
tough
defense.
Week for
that's
us. Trouble.
Tough week for us, Jamie. It's tough. TJ Watt has a chance to play this week for the Steelers.
Oh, I'm thinking we got to send him some gear, Jamie. Send Adam an Eagles hat.
That is not jersey. That is not happening. I will
Why?
Not go that far.
You're an Eagles fan.
Let me ask you this. Your son, Andrew, would you rather have him be a Jets fan or an Eagles fan if he's not going to be a Giants
Jets,
fan?
100% a Jets fan. 100%. As much as
like his uncle.
The heartache he'll be enduring. So the trade I was offered in the podcast league, you guys let me know if I should take this. I was offered Brandon Cooks and Sterling Shepard. Yeah, look, I buy them a little bit, right? For Justin Jefferson and A.J. Brown.
I think you should. I think you should accept that.
If it was for one of them, that's interesting because it's a 14-team league and you need some depth.
That's true, actually. I don't think I'd do it anyway.
I wouldn't do it either, but it makes more sense.
Yeah. I can better that deal, I think, if you're going to give away Jefferson and Brown.
I would think that you would be able to better that deal, yeah. Let's give some names. Top three at each position. Jamie, let's start with quarterbacks. Let's say Fields and Cousins are not in the picture, are not in the equation here. Who are the top three to add at quarterback?
For me, it would be Teddy Bridgewater, one, mostly from the one-week scenario because of who they get in week three, which is the Jets. So you don't necessarily need to look long-term with him because after this, he gets Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and so we'll see how things go for him after this matchup, but clearly after the first two games and then getting the Jets this week, I like that. Daniel Jones would be second for me. Certainly in leagues with 4 points for passing touchdowns, you can make a case that he should be first. He's got at least 8 fantasy points with his rushing numbers alone in the first 2 weeks, 27 yards and a touchdown in week one, 95 yards rushing and a touchdown in week two. And he looks better, you know, so we'll see what happens. Then he's doing this without Galladay really doing anything. So against Atlanta, that's another great matchup in week three. And then we'll see what happens again with him moving forward. And then number three would be Derek Carr. You just can't ignore the way he's played through two tough matchups against Baltimore and Pittsburgh. I know the overtime game against Baltimore, you have to factor that in, but 27 fantasy points each of those two games and very strong command of the offense right now, which can't run the ball.
All right, what did you offer me? Antonio Brown. Oh, you know what? This isn't terrible. Antonio Brown.
It's better than the offer you got. I told you I'd beat it.
Mark Ingram and Deontay Johnson for Jefferson.
That's right. Ingram's a sweetener.
Yeah, look at that. Well, I get to trade one A Brown for another A Brown. That's a wash. They have the same initials.
Yeah.
And then I get Deontay Johnson and Mark Ingram for Justin Jefferson.
Okay. Just go ahead and hit accept and we can move on.
What's your record there? Because you stacked the draft, so you could be awesome.
I'm 1-1. I'm 1-1.
1-1? Yeah. With McCaffrey, Jefferson, and Brown. Who would have thought that?
I do have Hockenson.
Hockenson.
We had a bit of an... I'm pretty happy about Hockenson. You must be feeling great about Hockenson. Like, oh... Both of you ended up really loving him. Jamie, I know you were on him like super early.
Yeah, no, it's exciting to see that he's the only one that's really of significance for this team.
Yeah.
Like we said.
And exactly. Let's see.
No disrespect to Quintus Cephas, though.
I don't know if we want to get into this now, but we can. Derek Carr, I mean, there might be something here because they lead the NFL in pass attempts. Now, they had an overtime game, so maybe they wouldn't be number one, but they'd be close. He, in his last 9 games, going back to 2020... he's averaging 8.45 yards per attempt.
You're taking out the game he left as well.
No, that's why I did yards per attempt.
Okay. What do you attempt, like 8 passes though in that game?
Five. Yeah. But so fine, in his last 8 games plus 5 more passes, 8.45 yards per attempt. That would have been second best in the NFL last year. And even if you just look at his full season, 7.9 yards per attempt last year, that was 5th best. He just doesn't throw that much, but... if they get anything from their wide receivers, there might be something here. I don't remember how well he finished the season, but
24 more fantasy points, 4 of his last 5, and you throw out the game that he missed when Marcus Mariota took over. It's 4 in a row, and so now it's 6 in a row in that regard that he's finished with at least 24 more fantasy points. So he's playing great, and you know it's fun to see, and it ties into another waiver wire guy, which is Henry Ruggs. You'd like to see one of these guys get going early in the game. You know, it's been total second half performances for Ruggs the first 2 weeks. But the thing that's nice about Ruggs, and which is hopefully a sign of things to come, first game in his career with more than 5 targets. So if he can continue to get more work, you see what the upside could be. Now, he's going to clearly be inconsistent. Edwards is going to be inconsistent. Carr missed Edwards for a touchdown in that game against Pittsburgh.
He had one call back.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe it was called back.
Yeah, he had a touchdown call back. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have Renfro who gives you a good, you know, it's a good, you know, if you were to say just how to build a receiving core, Darren Waller is a number one guy, whatever position you want to put him at, he's number one guy. You have a speed threat in Ruggs who's going to scare the bejesus out of every defense every week because they have to account for that guy down the field. Edwards is becoming a good receiver, but he's got a ways to go, but he would be your natural two. And then Renfro is a good possession receiver. So as just, you know, how it's constructed, it's a good group. You just have to see Ruggs, Edwards, and Renfro step forward a little bit more to help Darren Waller. And that if that happens, which we're seeing it, you know, strong week one for some guys and strong week two for Ruggs, it could be a nice group for Carr, especially they can't run the ball. You know, so this is a team that's going to have to rely on him for sure.
Yeah.
16 running back runs in week one, 20 running back runs in week two, and they were miserable. They can't do it. They can't run the ball. The offensive line is a concern for pass blocking now as well. Incognito hasn't played yet this year. Leatherwood, the right tackle, got hurt. Denzel Good, the right guard, got hurt. It's a messy offensive line, but they can't run it. So they're going to be forced to throw it a ton, and Carr has been getting good production. And I don't know if we made it clear, and it was Edwards that had the touchdown called back.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry.
He's starting to look like he could be a player too.
Yep.
That's a stash.
Yeah, he flashes, right?
But Carr's my favorite quarterback to pick up off the waiver wire. If you want to use Bridgewater for 1 week, I get it. It's the Jets. But Carr's got Miami, and I don't know if the Dolphins' pass defense is exactly a shutdown unit.
Yeah, Dolphins' defense is still good. The score last, like you say, they did that to Josh Allen and the Bills' passing attack. You wouldn't have expected that score to be anything close to what it was. They got so many short fields because they went for it on fourth down so many times, and they gave up the Bills opportunities to just put the ball in the end zone. But they did a great job on Josh Allen.
Yeah, and look, he's faced the Ravens and the Steelers. Oh, we'll just finish with this. Just a little bit of an asterisk. He didn't have a lot of fantasy points. I don't think he had 20 in regulation against the Ravens.
No.
And the Steelers' defense is falling apart. You know, yep. So it wasn't as hard of a matchup. But still, really good signs from Derek Carr. So I guess long-term, Jamie, you had Carr third on your list, Bridgewater, Jones, Carr. But that was not long-term. Long-term, would he be ahead of Bridgewater and Daniel Jones?
I feel more comfortable with him long-term than Bridgewater. I'm curious, though, about Jones, because you get these Russian quarterbacks, man, they're difference makers. And if he's going to continue, we know that he's going to run. We know that he's going to run. And so chasing points most weeks, you know, I think there'll be some higher ceilings for Jones, but a lower floor. You know, so it just depends, I think, on what you need.
All right. By the way,
like if I have to start somebody, I'm starting Carr. If I have to stash somebody, I'm stashing Jones.
Okay. I didn't give Dave enough credit for being in on TJ Hawkinson too. I feel like I kind of misrepresented that.
We all were, and
so far so good. All right, Dave.
Who cares? That was so 1 month ago.
top three running backs. Who would you add, Dave?
McKissick is at the top. I'm reluctant with all these guys. McKissick is at the top, especially in PPR. Madison is going to be second just because Cook is beat up right now. We think he's going to play. He should be fine, but that's a lottery ticket. And then Cordarrelle Patterson is third. I don't love it. And if we're going to put, I mean, you only asked me for the top three, so I'll stop there. But there's a couple of other names behind Patterson that we'll get to.
Go.
Well, I mean, if we're going to consider Cordarrelle Patterson, then we might as well consider other bums like Phillip Lindsay, Ty Johnson. Gainwell isn't necessarily a bum. He's more of like a third of the time player for Philadelphia who could emerge into a bigger role. So there are some running backs out there that have like mild appeal, but no one that's going to help you win your league necessarily. And that's why I'm not nearly as excited to draft running backs or get running backs off the waiver wire this week.
There's also Zach Moss, 61% rostered. Is Devin Singletary has 3 fumbles in 2 games. And
Moss's role is pretty defined. He's going to be the short yardage guy. And, you know, it's only a matter of time before, as we saw last year, he starts to take on more work. So he would be the third guy, I think, if you're looking at it for this week.
And then Michael Carter, he's with like 75-ish% rostered. So he's not available in a ton of leagues.
77.
All right, but you see if he's available. They were pretty happy with what he gave them in week 2.
And if you want fake Michael Carter, you can get Ty Johnson. He's 92% available, and they both played the same amount of snaps.
All right, Jamie, who are the real – well, we already gave some wide receivers. It's Shepard, Moore, who else?
Yeah, I'd put Patrick third. He basically played the same amount of snaps as KJ Hamler, so just keep that in mind. You know, 51 snaps for – Patrick, 49 snaps for Hamler. But we saw last year Patrick was clearly the, you know, second best receiver for Denver when there was a guy missing, and I still think that's going to be the case. He didn't have a huge game in week 2 against Jacksonville, but, you know, 3 catches, 34 yards and 37 yards and a touchdown on 4 targets. He had one more target than Hamler, but a lot more production. Hamler had 1 catch for 5 yards. So I think it's only a matter of time before there's a little bit more separation for those two guys. Hamler will have a big player too, so that might make things a little bit skewed as things go on until Judy's back, but I just feel more comfortable with him. But that's, you know, the third guy, you can make a case for a lot of different guys. You can make a case for Ruggs. You can make a case for Elijah Moore as a stash candidate. You can make a case for Darnell Mooney, who's, you know, coming off an 8-target game. Mm-hmm. And now we'll see what happens with Fields. You know, so there's a handful of guys that I think, you know, can jockey for that third spot. For me, though, I'll just take Patrick based on what I said about him going into last week and what, you know, happened at least coming out of week 2.
I just want to mention and get your thoughts on it. Rondale Moore, you did say, Jamie, that his snap share went up. He still played fewer than the other three wide receivers. He's played the fewest of the Arizona wide receivers, fewest snaps. I doubt that matters in week two. You know, obviously he's making progress, but just to throw it out there, does that matter to you?
Yeah, no. As we've seen, Christian Kirk in week one, 2 touchdowns. You know, he had 5 targets, the same amount as Moore. AJ Green had 6 targets. They continue to throw to AJ Green. I think they want to get him going, and he scored in week two also. So, you know, it's – and this is something I think, you know, people need to realize when we talk about stuff like this. Like, the 77-yard touchdown was nice. He was standing there wide open. You know, I mean, there was not a lot that he had to do outside of catch the ball and run fast. And so it's something just to take into account. But you're looking at what the long-term potential could be. And the long-term potential is they want to feature him to whatever degree they're going to feature him in the crowded receiving core that they have. So Hopkins is still clearly the best guy on this team. The second guy is going to probably change on a week-to-week basis. But I'm hopeful by the middle of the season, as we've seen with rookie wide receivers, which you always tend to note, Adam, is they tend to grow into roles as the season goes on. So the fact that his snap count did increase from week one to week two shows that they're putting more on his plate, and you just hope that continues to come.
All right, Dave, make everyone's skin crawl and tell us the tight ends to add.
So let's start with Evan Engram. He's available in 62% of leagues. It sounds like he's got a chance to play. The Falcons got decimated by Rob Gronkowski in week two. Goddard had a touchdown in week one. And it's just a good matchup for Engram in week three. If you're streaming, he's the guy to gravitate toward. And then after that, it's more names you know, but you can't really expect a lot from them. Austin Hooper, 56% available with Landry out. And Odell looks like he's going to play, but who knows to how healthy he is. So maybe Hooper picks up a little bit of slack. Jack Doyle had a lot of targets in week two after being invisible in week one. And it's Jacob Eason under center, so they probably need some guys that are going to be reliable short area targets.
But there's zero chance anyone's trusting someone in the Colts passing game right now. I mean, especially Jack Doyle.
At tight end, if you can't get your hands on Engram or Hooper and you're streaming, Doyle is going to be the guy you go, what the hell?
I would just
touchdown
still
for
take,
what it's worth. The Wentz interception, which was a stupid flip on his part, was going to Doyle on whatever that little stupid play.
I know, it's just the easy factor. But why wouldn't you? Would you not just go back to Cole Kmet or something like that?
You could.
Yeah, I think so. But you know, it's again, who's available? What you've seen? They're trying to still figure out this passing attack. I think. You know, still down Hilton. Last week it was Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor doing the heavy lifting. This week it was Michael Pittman and Jack Doyle doing the heavy lifting. You know, so it's going to probably change on a week-to-week basis. And, you know, if you want to trust Zach Pascal, you could trust him too. He's got 3 touchdowns in 2 games. So it's a weird receiving core, you know. So you're just trying to – if you're in one of these leagues, like if you went to Juwan Johnson and you're frustrated with the Saints, this is a potential pivot for you. You know, so like they've said, it's not great options. I would put Hooper over Engram just because of health, because we just don't know if Ingram's going to be 100% back. And I do think Hooper has a big opportunity in front of him without Landry in there. But those are the top two guys. And I think, again, it's like the receiving court. There's a much different level, though. This is the who's third is kind of, you know, take your pick.
Well, I was worried that Kmet may have pass blocked more last week, and technically he did, but it was only 5 passing snaps that he stayed in to block. I wonder if he'll do a little bit more of that this week against Cleveland because of the Browns pass rush. But I also wonder if Justin Fields just looks downfield and doesn't look for the short area targets and the tight end as much as maybe Andy Dalton would. And so if Dalton's out this week and it's Justin Fields starting, I can't say that I love Cole Kmet.
I know we don't usually think of it like this, but does it make sense if you're just so bad at tight end to just take someone on a high-scoring offense like Dawson Knox, who plays, you know, a ton of snaps, caught a touchdown? I know he's not heavily involved, but...
touchdown or bust, right?
Yeah, totally. But might as well take a shot on a guy who's on Josh Allen's team rather than Jacob Eason's team, right?
Yeah, but I guess if you're saying that, though, and this is where I think guys like Knox fall into a little bit of a trap, because Max Williams had a big game last week, right?
That's exactly right.
High-scoring offense, and you know, you see the target number, and then you go, okay, well, Kyler Murray may be starting to look for him a little bit more. That was his best game. Maybe you combine all of his numbers in his career, and you put it up against what he did in week two. That's probably the same amount of production you're going to get. You know, so you don't want to chase necessarily those type of guys. And Knox is better, but you know, like we have the Cowboys guys. You could say, okay, maybe this is a Jarwin week or a Schultz week. You know, that's going to be a typically a good offense. I think the hope would be is that if you're really stuck at tight end, there's probably half of your league that has a second guy on their bench, like a Jared Cook. I'm trying to think of other guys in that.
Who had a touchdown called back last week.
Right. You know, maybe somebody has Higbee on their bench, Jonnu Smith on their bench. You know, that there's still something to like about those guys by comparison to the Doyles and the Dan Arnolds and the Pat Freiermuths of the world, and even the Austin Hoopers and Evan Ingrams of the world. You know, it's like, yeah, Ingram may come back and be great, but is he going to be great in the context of who he is or in the context of the tight end position? You know, yeah. So Hooper may have a big opportunity in front of him. Is he going to continue to share with Harrison Bryant and David Njoku, or is he going to step forward without, you know, Jarvis Landry there? So it's an ugly week at that position. I would say this is a better week to try and approach a trade, you know, scenario, as opposed to necessarily being stuck on the waiver wire. You know, Logan Thomas, you know, like I haven't in one league, you know, I'm just happened to be lucky that Rob Gronkowski was available and I spent a lot of money on him in the flex leagues to get him last week. And, but I also have Logan Thomas. I'm more than willing to trade Logan Thomas at this point, you know, so if somebody is stuck and wants to make a deal, that's an easy trade, you know, to make for somebody, you know. So Tyler Higbee might be, you know, trade potential. Yeah. Thomas might be trade potential.
How about Andrews and Kittle? You may not have a better time to get Andrews and Kittle than right now.
Well, that's, I think, agreed. If you're shooting for more of a blockbuster, because you're not getting them cheap.
No,
but I'm talking about
not.
The guys that you might be able to get cheap.
You send Sterling Shepard and Brandon Cooks for George Kittle. Maybe it'll work, you know.
Yeah, that might get a lot of attention.
All right, let's finish up here. DSTs, Jamie, who are your top DSTs?
The Panthers by far, you know, 29% roster percentage. They get Houston with Davis Mills. So they've been awesome, and they may be sustainable all season, you know, just based on how that defensive line is getting after things. And the back end is doing a great job with Jeremy Chinn. So it's a fun unit to watch. I think you buy into the Raiders defense, especially if Jacoby Brissett is starting. You know, that pass rush has been fantastic, and home game against, you know, Brissett might be good for them. I'll give the Bears the third option, you know, just in terms of the defenses that were rostered. If Mayfield's banged up and no Landry, and we'll see about Beckham, how healthy he is. You know, the Bears, if they get the Browns, some obvious pass rush situations, as we saw last week, you know, they can get a turnover and maybe find the end zone. And then I usually don't do four, but I put the Titans on the list also just because they're facing potentially Jacob Eason. So we'll see if that defense can turn some things around.
And kickers?
Kickers, the number one kicker, I think, is Nick Folk. Now that he's going to be the guy for the Patriots, he's been fantastic, and he's available everywhere, 4% roster percentage. Daniel Carlson's gotten off to a good start, 39% roster percentage for him, taking on the Dolphins. Matt Gay's at the higher end of things, 62%, but he's done a nice job so far for the Rams. And as we know, the Bucs can have a bend but not break defense. And then it's hard to overlook what Graham Gano has done as maybe the Giants' best player, 14%. It's his roster percentage in a home game against Atlanta.
Dave, I'm not sure if you have any IDPs. I know a lot of people were asking me about Nick Vigil because I brought him up a couple weeks ago as a sleeper, and he had a pick six. Look, if Anthony Barr is out, Nick Vigil is a must-have. I don't know what happens when Anthony Barr comes back. I don't know when Anthony Barr comes back, but it's just something to keep in mind in IDP. Also, Cole Holcomb, linebacker for Washington, plays like every snap and was okay in week two, was good in week one. So those are a couple guys to pick up. I'm sure there are some more high-end players out there. This would be for a deeper IDP league, but yeah, there you go. Devondre Campbell for the Packers, I think he's somewhat available and had a big game last night. And they were saying some great things. If you were watching the actual broadcast instead of the Mayday one, they were saying some great things about him.
I'd go back to Kenny Young. I know he got tossed in week two against the Colts, but he had a nice week one with 10 tackles.
Yeah. Oh, great. Good call. All right. Would you drop these DSTs? The Steelers. Their next two games are the Bengals and the Packers. Then they have Denver, then Seattle, then a bye. Would you drop the Steelers?
I wouldn't this week, especially if Watt's going to play against the Bengals.
If Watt's out, then you might think about getting away from them.
Like, I would drop them for the Panthers if that's my choice. I'm not dropping them for the Titans.
Would you drop the Washington football team DST at Buffalo, at Atlanta, New Orleans, Kansas City, at Green Bay? That's our next five games.
I would do it for the Panthers. I would do it for the Raiders this week. I think if you're hopeful for the football team's defense, Ron Rivera is now voicing his concerns. There was a story in NBC Sports Washington where Rivera, not happy clearly with the way the defense has looked so far, and understandably so.
If they get Atlanta in 2 weeks, that's a team that's allowed at least 13 points to a DST in each game so far this season. That's a reason to like the Giants DST this week. I would hang on to Washington.
And then the Rams, next three games are Bucks, Cardinals, Seahawks. Keep them?
I would.
Yeah, you kind of have to. But those three teams have combined for one 10-point DST matchup allowed. And it was Arizona, and they allowed a touchdown last week to Vigil.
Right.
So those are not great matchups at all. But it's a good defense. You shouldn't let them go. You won't get them back.
There after that, they get the Giants, Lions, and Texans. So that'll be a better stretch.
Oh my. Oh my.
So maybe in all seriousness, you could buy low on them in 3 weeks. We'll come back to that. Green Bay 35, or maybe we won't. Green Bay 35, Detroit 17. Dave, any major takeaways from this one? Aaron Jones is the first Packers running back with three touchdown catches since 1942. And Aaron Rodgers after a loss is just ridiculous, according to the AP. He's followed up each of the last five regular season losses by five in a row. He's thrown four touchdowns and no interceptions in his next game. So root against them if you have Aaron Rodgers. Anyway, any big takeaways here?
No, I mean, there are some takeaways for sure. Those are obviously the two biggest ones. Rodgers looked like his old self again. It was excellent to see after he looked old in week one. And Aaron Jones was due for a bounce back game after barely getting the ball in week one. This qualifies. Target drain for the running backs in Detroit. Huh? DeAndre Swift only had four catches, five targets. Jamal Williams caught all three of his targets, so eight targets combined. That's a little disappointing after they were both so involved in the passing game the week before. It's going to make people, you know, second guess those guys as must start guys. I think Swift has earned it. Williams, maybe not so much in PPR. And Goff had a decent stat line for fantasy. We didn't really talk about him as a possible add. Maybe that's somebody that you consider trading for on the dirt cheap in super flex leagues if you're struggling at your QB2 spot.
He could lead the NFL in pass attempts. He had 36 last night. He had 57 in week one. And yeah, let's talk more about the Detroit running backs here. DeAndre Swift had eight carries for 37 yards, and he had four catches for 41 yards. So he was decent in PPR.
He looked pretty good, just didn't get the ball.
The fourth quarter was when he got most of his catches, too.
The last drive. Mm-hmm. He had three catches for 30 yards on the last drive of the game. And four catches for 41 yards for the entire game. So that was four of his five targets on the final drive. And I don't know what to make of that. I mean, there's going to be a lot of that this year, you know? But Jamal Williams started in only 30% of leagues and had 10 touches. Just not a good game. I don't know. Yeah.
They get the Ravens. Bears. I don't know if Minnesota is such a dangerous matchup anymore, but that comes after that.
But is DeAndre Swift really a must-start guy?
He is in PPR. I mean, you know, you got to take the two-game sample size for what it is, you know. So, obviously, great week one in a similar situation, you know, chasing points, and he was fantastic at home. I'm going to guess the Ravens go back to their typical game plan of, you know, blitzing nonstop, like we didn't see that against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So, ball out quick, you know, little scenario. Remember, the thing that probably helped Goff a little bit with his downfield throws, the Packers pass rush was beaten up. Za'Darius Smith didn't play in that game, you know, so a little more opportunities in the pocket for him. So I think with Baltimore and how they get after the quarterback typically could be a little tougher for Goff this week. So he'll still have volume. I think that'll help the running backs though. So I wouldn't necessarily panic too much after 1 week, but it was definitely disappointing to see, you know, the week one drop off to week two.
Any thoughts on selling TJ Hockenson or just let's enjoy the ride?
I mean, anybody's a sell high candidate when they're doing what they're doing like this, you know, on a team like this. But, you know, like I'm not trading Hockenson for Pitts, but if somebody wants to give me, you know, Kittle or Andrews and another player, you know, not necessarily a superstar, like, you know, Dave's throwing in a Mark Ingram for, you know, I know what he's doing.
It was too much. I know.
But I'm, you know, if somebody's willing to give you, you know, like,
hey, wait, Kittle, hold on. Stop right there. Kittle straight up for Hockenson.
No, I'm keeping Hockenson.
I am too.
Okay. Yeah, no, me too. Yeah. You know, you hate to overreact, but you're seeing it. You're seeing exactly what we expected.
I wouldn't do Hockenson straight up for Andrews either.
Or Pitts.
That one I might. I think Andrews.
There's a lot of big games coming for him.
Sure, but we're already getting them for Hockenson.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. But I'm just saying, like, you know, I wouldn't necessarily sell Andrews short.
The Andrews.
Like I said, he's the number one receiver and number one target getter in that offense.
Yeah, and Andrews isn't. I mean, this is something we did not see last year or the year before, is a third guy. And Sammy Watkins.
And eventually Rashad Bateman's going to come back but Bateman's eventually going to come back for Baltimore. There's going to be more guys in that passing game.
By the way, I did a Twitter poll earlier. I had forgotten about it until right now. Dave, you inspired it because you said Pollard might be better than Zeke. That's all I'm seeing. You know, people keep saying that, but the Zeke side hasn't really had a voice. So I just said, who is a better running back? Not for fantasy football, just as an NFL running back, who is better? Zeke has 52% of the vote. Pollard has 48%.
I thought Zeke would, in a Twitter poll, would run away with it.
I would think the opposite.
Ooh, that's close.
Yeah, I would have thought the opposite just because how Pollard looked.
Same. I would have thought Pollard was going to win.
Yeah.
People are just down on Zeke. It's like he didn't have 17 carries and a touchdown and in week two. It's weird. People are
Pollard looks like he shot out of a cannon, you know, so he's running a lot better. I think some of the play designs for Pollard are a lot better too, you know, but we'll see how that impacts them moving forward. But look, this was a good bounce back game for Zeke. And so hopefully there's just more to come.
He's on the field a lot more than Pollard. It's amazing that Pollard has as many catches as he's had. I feel like the second he gets in the game, they throw to him. It's weird. All right, drop-o-meter, 0 to 10.
If I were Zeke, I'd take back the luggage that he got Dak and his birthday.
All right, it goes 0 to 10. 10 is a must drop, 0, no chance. Baker Mayfield.
Is that because he's going to be off the team in a year and he needs to pack his stuff?
Maybe. It's a good call.
Baker Mayfield, 0 to 10.
10.
You can drop him.
Tyler Higbee.
Do not drop him.
0. Trevor Lawrence.
3.
Non-keeper leagues.
QPR. That's great.
PPR.
Naeem Hines.
PPR. He is a 2. Non-PPR. He's a 10.
2 stinking touches last.
He does this all the time, man. Yeah. He's going to do it later this year too, where he's just going to have a monster game. And then the next week it's the old fool Jew. And you'll be mad that you have him on your team.
Marquez Callaway.
Drop him.
7.
Rock. He actually looked a little bit better this week than he did. Now I'm watching Marquez Callaway with my free time.
He had twice as many catches this week.
Yeah, he looked a little bit better. And he had 2. There were a couple times he got open and Jameis just didn't look his way.
Robbie Anderson, drop a meter, 0 to 10.
0.
0.
At Houston this week, at Dallas the next week. Get right. Then Philadelphia, then Minnesota. Good stretch here for the Panthers passing game. Brandon Ayuk.
Hold up. Did Darnold make your list, Jamie?
Yep.
Where is he on it? Because we didn't talk about him.
He is behind.
He's fourth.
Fourth or fifth.
He's fourth.
He's fourth.
Yeah. So that
could he low-key be like, could he be the best guy? Like, I think Carr is going to be better rest of season. Maybe behind Carr, could he be the best one rest of season?
I would take Daniel Jones over him by a mile, and I would take Teddy Bridgewater over him right now. I just think you look at Darnold, I don't know if this is his ceiling, but it might be a ceiling, you know, where he's just living in that low 20s range.
Mm-hmm. I'd say it's been a little disappointing, you know, especially against the Jets. They had a lot of opportunities for more, and he just didn't really do enough. But, you know, so far he's been startable. Yeah,
they corrected that last week.
Let's see, we got...
Or more, anyway.
Jacoby Myers, 0. Did you give a number on Ayuk?
It's like a 3.
Yep. I want to give it another week. I don't want to give up on him too soon.
Jacoby Myers.
I don't want to give up on Dante Pettis too soon.
Oh, man.
Jacoby Myers is an 8 in non-PPR and a 3 in PPR.
Yeah.
Jonnu Smith.
I think if I needed a tight end and I saw him on the waiver wire, I'd pick him up, so I wouldn't drop him. 0.
Yeah, 3 at best.
All right, let's get a little bit deeper into the waiver wire here with the options that we have not talked about. At quarterback, the players that are rostered in 75% or more of leagues that might be available are Justin Fields and Kirk Cousins. Just for perspective, where are you going to rank Justin Fields this week at Cleveland?
I think he's 16 for me.
It's probably somewhere around that for me, too. Cousins is in my top 12.
Yeah, Cousins in my top 10.
And then you can decide short-term versus long-term. Teddy Bridgewater, Derek Carr. Bridgewater's got the Jets this week. Carr gets the Dolphins. Daniel Jones gets Atlanta. And then you've got Sam Darnold and Taylor Heineke at Buffalo. Buffalo's been really good against quarterbacks, but it's been Roethlisberger and Brissett. So Heineke's, you know, an option. I'll give you one more name. What do you think about Matt Ryan this week? You know, he
against the Giants?
Yeah. Giants, Washington, Jets are his next 3 games. He's 68% rostered. So, I mean, would you drop Matt Ryan for Bridgewater and Carr and Jones and all that, or keep him?
I would drop him for Carr and Jones.
I would drop Matt Ryan for those guys, yes.
Okay. In deep Superflex leagues, Davis Mills, Jacoby Brissett, Jacob Eason. Who's your favorite? All three of them might be available, probably are. So who's your favorite out of Davis Mills, Brissett, and Jacob Eason?
Mills, just because he's going to have probably the most long-term opportunity to play. And he didn't look bad after he got settled a little bit. You know, the start of the game was ugly, but, you know, now he hopefully will, you know, he may look, we've seen this with Tyrod before, clearly much more high profile guys, but you know, a rookie comes in and takes over for him almost every opportunity he gets as a starter since leaving Buffalo. Happened in Cleveland, happened with the Chargers. Those were top 10 overall yeah. picks. Davis Mills, not the same thing, but you know, who knows? The Texans may decide that Davis Mills is their guy.
They should.
Question here. I think, was Nathan Peterman a rookie when he took over? Or was that the second
yeah,
year?
Yeah, I think he was.
I don't remember which year that was for him when he had through like four interceptions and a half. That was in his second season.
He pulled
season.
A Zach Wilson.
That was in his second season. Okay. Anyway, quick detour there. All right. And yeah, Deshaun Watson's 24% roster. Do you think there's a reason to pick him up? They said they're not going to activate him this week, but they didn't rule it out originally, so...
I think the only reason you should be rostering Deshaun Watson is not to do with the Texans. It has probably more to do with the Dolphins, because if Tua's hurt and they decide that that's a trade they want to explore because they seem like the most likely trade partner, then maybe you go that route.
Okay, let's go to the running backs.
You got to have a really deep roster at this point to carry Deshaun Watson.
Go to the running backs here. James White, Michael Carter, Sony Michel. We haven't really talked much about him, but... It's not just that Daryl Henderson is hurt now. It's that Daryl Henderson is frequently hurt. So Sony Michel's 71% roster. He's not super available. And
yeah,
so
I was surprised that people gave up on him, because when I looked at it last week, he was in the 90s, you know, because, you know, you had the storyline and people telling you that he might be the best Rams running back. But that's, I don't think it'd be the case unless Henderson is going to significantly miss time. The thing you got to look at is how much are they going to maybe share? Because through, you know, a week and a half, it was all Daryl Henderson for the most part in terms of workload. So, you know, it's like you said, Adam, if you're in the Daryl Henderson camp, you want to see Sony Michel bang his head into Vita Vea 100 times and struggle. And then Henderson gets healthy and he's back as the lead guy. But Michel, look, 4.6 yards per carry last week. You know, we'll see if the fluky involvement in the preseason game for the Patriots is something that the Rams use, because we saw Henderson get an uptick in passing production this week against the Colts, or last week against the Colts. So I think Michel is obviously worth adding where available, because we don't know how long Henderson might be out, if he's going to miss time at all. But he clearly is the number two guy there. You know, I don't know what they're going to do with Jake Funk as the third guy, but very clearly right now they're leaning on one running back, and that could be Michel.
Could have been Cam Akers. The guys to add, J.D. McKissic, Cordarrelle Patterson, Alexander Mattison. You're sitting there, you're looking at Patterson and Mattison, so you don't need to start a running back. Who do you pick up?
I think it probably depends on your backfield situation, because there's clearly a chance that Patterson is going to help you sooner, but lottery ticket appeal is clearly Mattison. Because Mike Davis goes down, I don't think they're turning to Wayne Gallman at this point. It seems like they're turning to Patterson.
I have a hard time loving a 30-year-old totally great receiver.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Give me Mattison.
Kenny Gainwell is 59% is rostered. Sorry. Darrell Williams had a rushing touchdown. He might get some of those this year.
Yeah. The reason I put him there is because if they continue to get frustrated, or if they start to get frustrated with Edwards-Helaire, I don't think they've gotten frustrated, at least publicly yet. You had a bad game on top of a fumble, you know? And so do they start to go maybe a little bit more in the direction of the guy who helped them in two key playoff games last year? And that was Williams, you know, when Edwards-Helaire was hurt and Le'Veon Bell stunk. You know, that Williams carried them in the two games against the Browns and the Bills, you know, so we'll see if that's maybe something you just want to take a stash opportunity on if you have an open roster spot.
Would you stash McKinnon in a deep PPR league?
They just haven't used him to the same degree, but maybe, you know, I mean, my guess is it's going to be a committee, you know, but I think more of the rushing opportunities and certainly more of the goal line opportunities will go to Williams, because they've shown you that already when Edwards-Helaire is playing.
Sure, I get that.
Other running backs.
It's already been
a committee,
Dave, by the way.
Other running backs to consider, just the same vein as Mattison, but with less upside. Samaje Perine. I mean, just Joe Mixon gets so much work, and he's got an injury history, and it's 17-game season. Just think about if Mixon gets hurt, Piran's going to be the number one player added on waivers. So,
But I think Chris Evans would get in the mix there. I don't think it would be all Piran all the time.
All right. Zach Moss, 61%. Nobody's really adding Peyton Barber, but, you know.
Not even you?
Ty Johnson is 8%. Okay. Wide receivers. You can see if Marvin Jones, who's had two big games in a row, or Marquise Brown, who's had two big games in a row, are available. They're rostered in more than 80% of leagues. What do we think about Michael Pittman? Is he a must-add guy? 66% rostered.
I think he's in the... I put him behind Shepard and behind Rondale Moore, just in terms of what his, you know, the team that he plays for now, the quarterback situation being what it is. But, you know, you had the game you were hoping for with T.Y. Hilton out, you know, and so 12 targets, 8 catches, you know, looked like the guy that we were saying, oh, could be a big winner without Hilton there. But, you know, that might be his best game of the season, you know, depending on how Jacob Eason looks. And then when T.Y. Hilton does come back.
How often is he going to have 12 targets? Because he's a volume needy receiver. He's not a big yak guy unless there's broken coverage.
Yeah.
He really did not gain many yards after the catch, even this past game.
They got a terrible receiving core. He should have targets. He didn't in week one, but he certainly did against the Rams. Okay, so would you rather have... Struggling here with, because, you know, Sterling Shepard, obviously.
Christian McCaffrey or Michael Pittman, give me
Pittman. Yeah, I guess so. Really? McCaffrey can't score.
Not really.
Oh, no, he did.
Well, I think if you're choosing between Pittman, Shepard, and Pittman, Shepard, Moore, and Patrick.
Yeah, where is he?
I mean, like I said, for me, he's third. You know, yep. I would take what the upside of Rondale Moore could be over Pittman at this point. And Shepard has obviously proven himself to be, you know, a legit player.
All right, quick thoughts, guys. Going to wrap up the show here. Darnell Mooney, I think he plays all the time. He's tied with Allen Robinson in targets. So Darnell Mooney, Henry Ruggs, Elijah Moore, KJ Osborne, Quintez Cephas. Is there one that really stands out in that group? Mooney, Ruggs, Elijah Moore, KJ Osborne, and Quintez Cephas.
They all do in their own way, but Mooney's the one I like the best. 13 targets or 15 targets in two games. That's tied with Allen Robinson. And one of the reasons why I liked Mooney was because I think he's got some upside with Fields at quarterback. And we could be looking at Fields starting for the Bears in week three, and his numbers were good in the game that Fields played the majority of the time in this past week.
Dave said it best. It depends on, you know, I think what you're looking for. If I have, like in your case, Adam, for example, I know it's a two-receiver league in our podcast league, but if I have Jefferson and Brown and I'm deciding between Mooney, who's got clearly a much safer floor, or Ruggs, who can win me a week, there's probably going to be a lot of times where I'm playing Ruggs over Mooney because, you know, he's going to have these blow up games that Mooney's just not capable of in this offense.
Okay. And then a tight end.
And don't give up on Elijah Moore. Look, Zach Wilson's just missing him barely every game. Certainly last week against the Patriots. I mean, his air yards, I don't know exactly what the number is, but it has to be high up there for week two. He just can't connect with them right now. And you have Denver this week, so it's not exactly going to be pretty. But then I think it's Atlanta and Tennessee.
Yeah, add him after this week.
I would add him now because he has one big play and you're going to miss out on.
Okay. Could get Crowder back this week. Don't know how much.
He had 113 air yards. That was 16th highest.
That's pretty good for a rookie in that team.
Yeah, that did not include the Monday night game.
Okay, let's go to the tight ends here. Robert Tonyan.
Deeper leagues, though, two guys. Three guys. Osborne and Cephas. You know, Osborne in this offense with how much they're throwing looks fantastic. 15 targets in the first 2 weeks. And then Cephas, as long as Tyrell Williams is out, he scored now in each of the first two games. So he looks like their potential number two receiver, not taking into account the running backs. And then you mentioned Crowder. If Crowder's not out, Braxton Berrios has been just a go-to guy for Zach Wilson. You know, just a cheap PPR option if you're stuck.
He's doing what I thought Moore was going to do.
Well, Crowder, though. I mean, that's the thing. Once Crowder comes back,
I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. If Crowder's out another week, and as we know, Crowder misses time, Berrios could be a cheap PPR guy you can lean on.
Tight ends to know. Tonyan, Cook, and Janu might be available in your leagues. They're 73 to 80% rostered. If they're not, Austin Hooper with Landry out. Why? Are we sure it's Hooper over Njoku?
Well, Njoku's target share went down in week two. So, you know, I think Hooper's the safe guy.
Hooper had three targets.
You know, they're going to use all three.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Hooper had three targets in week one. What did he have in? I think they had about three or four each.
He had five targets, five catches, 40 yards.
Okay.
Hooper was 9 points in PPR.
Evan Engram against Atlanta. Jack Doyle. Pat Freiermuth. Yeah.
Freiermuth is the stash. He had more playing time than Ebron last week.
Both weeks.
Yeah.
Dan Arnold had a good game for Carolina. Yep. Max Williams for Arizona.
And the Texans have struggled against tight ends. Week one, it was James O'Shaughnessy and Manhurt scoring a touchdown. Last week, it was the three tight ends combining for the Broncos. So, you know, Arnold maybe is something. For you, Adam, finally.
He I know. Yeah, a week too late. Right, Cole Kmet.
Arnold to the Arnold.
So would you take Hooper, Engram, and Doyle over Cole Kmet facing Cleveland?
I would take Ingram.
If he's healthy, I would take Ingram, and I would take Hooper.
The Eagles have been great against Pitts and Kittle so far, but if Amari Cooper's out, maybe we start looking at Schultz or Jarwin. Do you have a preference there between the two of them if Cooper were out?
Jarwin, but not by much. They're basically playing equally through 2 weeks.
All right. And then DST's Panthers, Raiders, Bears, Titans. And yeah, I don't know if there's another one we wanted to give. Arizona at Jacksonville, they're 68% rostered. You still believe in Cleveland against Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, they're a wild card because of, you know, what Fields may or may not do, but he's still a rookie quarterback, you know, making his first official start. At least that's what we expect.
They were a letdown, though. Yeah. Houston's one of eight teams that hasn't allowed an eight or more DST score against them yet this year.
Interesting. Well, yeah, but
that'll change. I think Carolina's defense changes that this week.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. The kickers that Jamie gave earlier, Nick Folk, Daniel Carson, Matt Gay, and he called Graham Gano the best player on the Giants, which was, as an Eagles fan, I really enjoyed hearing that. We will talk to you tomorrow with some buy low, sell high here on Fantasy Football Today. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will talk to you on Wednesday.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.